This is Alive with Joseph.
Celebrate Jesus. I believe in my heart that something big is coming to you in this season. Something significant is coming to you in this season. I pray for you right now. Something that will be a reference point. It comes into your life in the name of Jesus. And it comes out of your life in the name of Jesus. Something that will be a reference point comes into your life. It comes out of your life in the name of Jesus. Listen, friends, it will become very clear why you have had the challenges you have had in the last couple of months. By the time the Lord is done with you, your testimony will be mega in the name of Jesus. The same way your battle was loud, your testimony will be louder in the name of Jesus. You didn't hear me. I said, the same way your battles were loud, I announce over you, your testimony will be louder in the name of Jesus. Your victory will be louder in the name of Jesus. Your favor will be louder in the name of Jesus. Your restoration will be louder in the name of Jesus. Thunder, I receive it. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 24, still standing. 1 Kings 3, 24. Then we'll also go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 3 to 5. I'm reading both in New King James Version. I read, it says, then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 3 to 5. It says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, announce to three people on my behalf, walk up to them, look straight into their eyes and declare over them, pull out your sword. Pull out your sword. Now, go ahead and give Jesus your praise. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. Welcome to this beautiful evening service. With a few minutes we have together, let's hear what the Lord has for us. Amen. Let me begin by reminding some of you and also informing others that the most important miracle you will ever have is salvation. That is to say, everyone seated in this sacred space, you have had that miracle. And that is a miracle called salvation. That is the most important miracle you will ever have. Salvation is the most important miracle anyone can ever experience. So Jesus came to die. He was buried and he resurrected for your salvation. Jesus died, buried, was resurrected for your salvation. And in the Bible, when you study it very well, you will discover that no one was ever born again before Jesus showed up. No one was ever born again before Jesus showed up. Why? Because the one who is going to be born again, or the one who is going to lead every one of us to Christ, must first of all have been dead, buried, and resurrected. That is, the one who is born again must come from the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. So when you study the scriptures, no one was born again before Jesus showed up. That is to say, the greatest miracle you and I have ever received is salvation. When you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, NCV translation, it says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So we're looking at what our title, use your sword. Use your sword. So he said, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's great mercy, he caused us to be born again into a living hope. And how did we become born again? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That is, you're born again into a living hope because Christ rose from the dead. The reason why you and I are born again into a living hope is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is to say, Jesus did an awesome and mighty miracle in our lives by causing us to be born again by his resurrection. When you study the scriptures very well, you will notice that all through the Bible, Jesus did so many mighty miracles. The Bible even told us that if the miracles of Jesus were to be documented, there will be no library, soft or hard copy, that will have been able to contain the miracles of Jesus Christ. That is to say, according to John chapter 21 verse 25, it says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, John 21, 25, NIV translation, if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world will not have room for the books that would be written. Can you imagine that? That tells you that the Bible contains minute of what Jesus did. Because if the whole world will be filled with the book that will have been written concerning Jesus' miracle, that tells us that the miracles that the Bible documented is far, I'm not even sure it's up to 1% of the miracles that Jesus Christ did while he was here on the earth. And yet, when Jesus was leaving this planet earth, he said to you and I that greater works shall you do than me. Can you imagine that? That the world cannot contain the miracles that Jesus did. And yet Jesus, when he was leaving, he's saying to you and I that greater works than what he has done shall all of us do. Now, these greater works, are they in quantity or quality? These works are in quality, not in quantity. Why? Because inasmuch as Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead back to life, Jesus couldn't do one miracle. Jesus couldn't lead anyone to Christ. He couldn't lead anyone to Christ. Jesus couldn't give salvation to anyone. But you and I can give salvation. You and I can give salvation. That is why we go out for outreach. We go out for outreach because we have the power to give that miracle, to point someone to Jesus, to lead someone to Christ, to point someone to salvation. And that is why this Saturday, we all are gathering here to go out for outreach, because that is the only miracle. So when he said, greater works than this, that is to say, you all will be able to do the things I couldn't do. I couldn't lead anyone to Christ. So you all have received the power and the mandate to be able to lead someone to Christ, to be able to show them the good news of the gospel, to be able to point them to my love so that they can accept salvation. So you and I can give salvation. And that is why we go out for outreach. That is why we do not, nobody is left behind. On Saturday, 10 a.m., we gather here for outreach. We are going out there to the streets, to the byways, to do the miracle which Jesus couldn't do, which is leading people back to Christ and giving them salvation. Leading people back to Christ and giving them salvation. So when we are talking about greater works, some believers are wondering, why are we not raising more dead people? But listen, friends, we are not talking about bringing, you know, more dead people back to life. We are talking about bringing those who are dead in the spirit, giving them life that Jesus has made provision for. We're talking about bringing salvation to humanity. That is the greater works that Jesus wants you and I to do. So Jesus is saying, greater works you will do, more than the things he has done. So he was talking about, he's not talking about raising the dead only in as much as they are good. He's not talking about healing the sick in as much as they are good. He's talking about turning men back to God. He's talking about salvation, returning people back to God. And I pray this Saturday, as we step out in faith, as we go to turn men back to God, we declare bumper harvest in the name of Jesus. We shall have bumper harvest of souls in the name of Jesus. We shall have bumper harvest of souls in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this evening. So Mark chapter 16 verse 17, the Bible now says to us, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. So signs and wonders follow the believer. Signs and wonders is not our focus. Why? Because they are meant to follow you. They are not our focus. They are meant to follow you. Our focus is the message of the gospel. Why? Because that is the only miracle we can do that Jesus didn't do. That is the only miracle that you and I can do that Jesus didn't do. And hear this, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart by you receiving the gospel. According to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, the Bible says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit came into your heart when you got born again. The day you got born again, the Holy Spirit came into your heart. The day you got born again, the Holy Spirit came into your heart. So when you respond to the message of the gospel, that is when the Holy Spirit comes and tabernacle in your heart. That is when the Holy Spirit tabernacles in you. Listen, friends, the Holy Spirit didn't come into your life the day you started praying in tongues. No, that is not the day the Holy Spirit came into your life. The Holy Spirit came into your life the day you got born again. The Bible says that in him also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, the very moment you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit didn't come into your life the day you started praying in tongues. He came into your life and tabernacled in your heart the day you gave your life to Jesus. The day you started speaking in tongues is the day you gave expression to the gift you already received at the point of salvation. The day you start speaking in tongues is the day you give expression to the gift you have already received at the point of salvation. So the day you pray in tongues is the day you begin to give expression to the gift of the Holy Spirit you have already received. Listen, friends, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart at salvation. That is to say, anyone who is born again, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you right now. Why? Because no one can confess Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. You cannot confess that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. So the Father is God in creation. He is the Son in redemption. And he is the Spirit in regeneration. He is the Spirit in regeneration. Hear this, friends. The Holy Spirit cannot regenerate someone who doesn't understand redemption. Regeneration cannot be made available to anyone who doesn't understand redemption. Why? Because it takes redemption to give birth to regeneration. I repeat, it takes redemption to give birth to regeneration. It takes receiving what Christ has done for you in death, burial, resurrection. Now for you to be able to, you know, experience, or you give space to the Holy Spirit in your heart to do the work of regeneration. So friends, redemption gives birth to regeneration. Redemption gives birth to regeneration. Without redemption, you cannot experience regeneration. So this is the summary of the Bible. Follow me carefully. We're doing a Bible study. Follow me carefully. This is the summary of the Bible in its totality, in its entirety. It is God in creation, the Son in redemption, the Holy Spirit in regeneration. God in creation, the Son redemption, the Holy Spirit regeneration. So we can safely say the whole Bible is summarized this way: the will of the Father, the work of the Son, and the witness of the Spirit. The entire Bible is summarized this way: the will of the Father, the work of the Son, the witness of the Spirit. That is, the entire Bible is telling us a story of the will of the Father, the work of the Son, and the witness of the Spirit. That is what the entire Bible is telling us. The entire Bible, the message of the entire Bible in summary is the will of the Father, the work of the Son, and the witness of the Spirit. You may ask, Pastor, what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that the Son should die for the redemption of mankind. What is the work of the Son? The work of the Son is that in him dying, you also died. When he resurrected, you resurrected with him. So, child of God, Jesus didn't faint on the cross. Jesus died death on the cross. And he didn't just die death, he died a shameful death. He died a shameful death. Jesus didn't just come to die any kind of death. If that was the case, when they took him to the top of the mountain to throw him off the cliff of the mountain, he would have accepted that death. He would have accepted that death. But listen, friends, that death, if he had accepted that death, if they had thrown him off the cliff of the mountain, he accepted that death would never have been a legal death. That is, that death would never have been able to forgive our sins, that death also will have lacked the power to destroy the curse. Why? The constitution says, which is the word of God, the will of the Father, anyone that must take the curse must hang on the tree. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone who hangs on a tree. So if Jesus had died in any other way, it would not have been a legal tender in the realms of the spirit. Why? Because for anyone to be able to take away the sin, he must of necessity be hanged on the cross. Without him being hanged on the cross, his death would have been useless. So that is why Jesus didn't die any kind of death. So when Jesus refused to fall off the cliff of the mountain, listen friends, it wasn't cowardice, it was his love for you and I. Because that would have been an easy way to die. That would have been a cheap way. He would have just fallen off and died and moved on with his life. But he refused because of his love for you and I. Jesus wasn't afraid to die. But he knew that for him to die, he must die well, the proper death. He knew how to die. And he knew that falling off the cliff was not the way for him to die. He knew how to die, and he knew that falling off the cliff was not the way for him to die. So, child of God, that is a word for you tonight. I declare, you can't die anyhow in the name of Jesus. Your Savior didn't die anyhow. You too will not die anyhow in the name of Jesus. You will not die by assassination in the name of Jesus. You will not die by stray bullets in the name of Jesus. You will not die by accident in the name of Jesus. You will not die by road rage in the name of Jesus. You will not die by air accident in the name of Jesus. You cannot die in the hands of diabolical people in the name of Jesus. Why? It is not in the scripts. It is not in the script. That is why the Bible is called the scripture. The reason the Bible is called scripture is because it is script written about you. And the script written about you, there is nowhere I see in the Bible written about you that you must die by assassination. That anybody has the power to take your life. Therefore, I pray for you again. I declare you will not die anyhow in the name of Jesus. You will not die before it is your time in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. Let me show you yourself in the script. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 4 says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I declare, the second half of this year, it shall be better for you in the name of Jesus. Let me show you again yourself in the script. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. I declare, your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. Your yesterday will never be better than your tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Let me show you yourself again in the script. Psalm 91, 7 to 8. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near thee. Only with your eyes you shall behold and see the reward of the wicked. Can I hear your loudest? Amen. Let me show you yourself again. Psalm 16, verse 6. It says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. This is your script. This is your script. You must go and act out. Child of God, the boundary lines are falling on you in pleasant places. You have a beautiful inheritance. January may not have been beautiful. February, March, April, May, June may not have been beautiful. But I came to declare, the remaining 6 months of the year, it shall be more beautiful than you have ever experienced in the name of Jesus. Oh, you will receive only the goodness of God in the name of Jesus. Your heavens are open in the name of Jesus. A great harvest comes into your life in the name of Jesus. Receive it by grace in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that tonight. Celebrate the Lord tonight. Give him praise. So friends, with the knowledge of your script, then you play accordingly. You act accordingly. As a believer, you don't react, you act. You act out the script. You act out the script. He said, look, I come in the volume of what is written of me. I don't come in the volume of what my enemies think about me. I don't come in the volume of what my enemies plan against me. I come in the volume of what is written. What is written about you? You are the head and not the tail. You are the first and not the last. What is written about you? No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. What is written about you? For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich for your sake, he became poor that through his poverty, Ayana Maragada, you should
never know lack in your destiny. I prophesy, whatever brings lack in your life, I terminate it on this ground in the name of Jesus. Enter your season of plenty in the name of Jesus. Enter abundance in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that tonight. Is that how you give Jesus your praise? Celebrate the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I come in the volume of what is written. What is written of me. Hallelujah. So you and I to act the script. Don't react. Check your scripts and act accordingly. Check your script and act according to your script. That is, when you receive bad news, what does the script say? When they gang up against you, what does the script say? Hey! They gang up against you at work. You don't consult what is the constitution of the office. No. What does the script say? Surely they will gather. But because their gathering is not of God, for your sake, they shall scatter. That is what the script say. What do you do? Act accordingly. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Some of you are looking at me stone dated. Give Jesus your praise tonight. Put those hands and celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. When the business doesn't seem like it's making much profit, what does the script say? What does the script say? Child of God, you don't react. You act out the script given to you. Listen, friends, you cannot feature in the future. You have not pictured from the scriptures. That is why the scripture is your script given to you to act. Nudge your neighbor, tell them I act my script. Tell them I act my script. Hallelujah. So the entire Bible is summarized this way. The will of the Father, the work of the Son, and the witness of the Spirit. So when you study the Bible, you will hear that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. At some other time, you will hear he's called the Advocate. You will also hear he is called the Comforter. You will also hear that the Holy Spirit is called the Helper and the Witness. So he is the witness of the Spirit. The Father is the witness of the Spirit. From the Bible, we know that the Holy Spirit is also the administrator of the will of the Father. Let's get into some legal issues here. He is also the administrator of the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the one who administers the will of the Father. You know what an administrator is? A lawyer. You know, when someone dies and leaves a will, the family hires an administrator. If there is no one there, they hire one, and the administrator makes sure that what is written in the will, everybody gets their portion. An administrator is hired to make sure that the will is properly administered. So the Holy Spirit is the administrator of the will of the Father. The Father left a will for us. And he did such a good work. Oh my God. Our Father did such a good work for you and I that you and I didn't have to hire the services of an administrator. We don't have to pay for litigation. We didn't have to hire the service of an administrator. So the Father, what he did was he left a will for us. Then he puts on the inside of you the administrator. He puts on the inside of you the administrator. So you don't have to go for litigation and pay for litigation and hire. No. He gets the administrator, puts him on the inside of you. So you don't have to look for anyone to now help you administer the will of the Father. You don't have to. Why? The administrator, the one who is to administer the will, is on the inside of you. Because on the inside of you is free of charge the administrator of the will of God. So that is why praying in tongues is you administering the will of the Father through the administrator. Are you understanding me tonight? So you don't have to. That is why, Holy Ghost, when the believer goes for one-on-one, something is wrong with that believer. It shows that something, there is a knot loosed in the head of that believer. And so a believer doesn't need counseling. They need to be flogged. Because why? What are you going for one-on-one on? When the administrator of the wheel lives on the inside of, what else again are you looking for? Are you following me tonight, friends? So the administrator of the will of the Father lives on the inside of you. So this is what has been happening to some of you. You have been praying one thing with your understanding, but by the time you start praying in tongues, the administrator of the will, you didn't know that he begins now to administer the will of the Father. And sometimes, as you're praying in tongues, he's administering the will of the Father. You'll discover that the will of the Father is direct opposite to what you are praying with your understanding. Because the administrator has to administer the will of the Father. And when you pray in tongues, you are allowing him to administer the will of the Father. So that is why you're praying, oh Lord, you know, can you just give me this job? Give me this job. You start praying in tongues. Ragabadabadada, rikada. Then the Holy Ghost, the administrator of the will of the Father, at that moment knows that the will of the Father is that your prayer must be redirected towards your child, because your child is about to get into danger. So you're praying in tongues for a job, but the Holy Ghost, now that you have you are administering the will of the Father, he now goes by that praying in tongues to deliver your child that is at the verge of danger. Hallelujah. That is why when you don't pray in tongues, listen, you are limiting yourself. When you pray in tongues, you bypass your mind, you pray the will of the Father, and the Holy Spirit knows exactly what the will of the Father is. And that is why when you and I are not praying in tongues, you may be, you know, when you're not praying in tongues, what may happen is you may be embracing a thorn, because praying in tongues help you to avoid embracing thorns. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. He said, let's read it together. Ephesians 6, 18. Please put it on the screen. Let's read together, everybody, at the count of three. One, two, three, go. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So the best way to pray, the shortest way to pray, all kinds of prayer, is by praying in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. You pray them in the Spirit. You pray them in the Spirit. You pray them in the Spirit. Hear me, friends. The Holy Spirit is far more than artificial intelligence. Hear me. Those that will rule our world is going to be those who are not just going to function with artificial intelligence, but also will need spiritual intelligence. Because when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit helps you to know what promptings to ask your artificial intelligence. And by time you do that, he's able to direct you. And before you know it, you're discharging your duties. Certain level of wealth is flowing your direction. Why? Because the spiritual intelligence is superior to artificial intelligence. Stop praying in tongues, friends. So praying in tongues is the secret of the believer. The beauty about the Holy Spirit as well is this: he directs you and not you directing him. The Holy Ghost directs you and not you directing him. I pray for you today. By the time we pray in tongues in the next couple of minutes, I declare every door locked against you be opened in the name of Jesus. Every door that was shut before you, I declare as you pray in tongues, by this time tomorrow, all the doors will have opened up for you in the name of Jesus. Listen, friends, you are one with the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of God is the administrator of the will of God. The Holy Spirit is not just the administrator of the will of God. He is also the testifier, and he is the helper of the believer. He helps the believer. The Holy Spirit doesn't just administer the will of God. Another thing the Holy Spirit does is he testifies of Jesus and helps the believer. Now, this is very important, because when you don't know this, anyone can show up from anywhere and tell you anything in the name of the Holy Spirit. Listen, friends, anyone can show up anywhere. He helps the believer. He helps the believer. Anyone can show up anywhere and say anything to you that is from the Holy Spirit, and you accept it if you do not understand this. Prophecy cannot be breaking news to you as a believer. Our generation behaves like prophecy is a breaking news. Someone prophesies to them. They scream, yes, Papa. They are screaming all over the place. Why? Because to them, prophecy is like a breaking news. And yet, prophecy is not a breaking news to the believer. It is supposed to be a confirmation. It's supposed to be a confirmation. Listen to me. Prophecy is supposed to be a confirmation. If it is not confirming anything in your heart, my friend, dump it in the garbage bin and walk away. So let's look at the summary of the scriptures again. It is, the summary of the scripture is the will of the Father, the work of the Son, and the witness of the Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit witnessing? He is witnessing the will of the Father, and he is witnessing the work of the Son. The Holy Spirit shows you Jesus and also shows you things to come. John 16 verse 13, let's read together. John 16 verse 13, he witnesses Jesus and also shows you things to come. Now, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, wait. Are you ready, everybody? Everybody, are you ready? Shall we read? 1, 2, 3, let's go. Be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth, testifying of Christ. Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So he guides you into all truth, and he testifies, he will show you things to come. The Message translation paints a better picture for us. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But when the friend comes, you see, the Holy Spirit is your friend. The Holy Spirit is not a dove. The Holy Spirit is not a fire. The Holy Spirit is your friend. Let's continue. But when the friend comes, go on, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed, out of all that I have done and said. So the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us and shows us things to come. The Holy Spirit is a testifier of Christ. The Holy Spirit is a testifier of Christ. There are believers who behave as if that the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit functions out of Christ. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit comes to testify of Jesus. Hear this about prophecy. Because when he shows you things to come, there must be confirmation in your heart. Am I against prophecy? No. God, the Holy Spirit uses prophecy sometimes to show you things to come. But listen to this thing about prophecy. Prophecy has three assignments. If any of this is lacking, then that prophecy has nothing to do with Jesus. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Number one, the prophecy must be edifying. There is edification. Prophecy has three assignments, and it is edification, exhortation, and comfort. That is, any prophetic word you receive that doesn't edify you, that doesn't exalt you, that doesn't comfort you, then something is wrong. You shouldn't receive a prophetic word and be confused. You shouldn't receive a prophetic word and be afraid and troubled. You shouldn't receive a prophetic word and the family scatters. What kind of sweet prophecy is that scatters families? God is not an author of confusion. I've seen some pronounced prophets that people have followed, man, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people followed, who stand and prophesying. After the prophecy, families get into trouble and prophesy that, you know, that the wife is a witch. I've seen that. And the woman leaves the place and says, you know, I didn't understand what came on me to even admit that I was a witch. The family turned apart. That's not from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does not bring confusion. The Holy Ghost does not bring confusion. And we say, hey, this is Jesus. He's revealing things. No, no, no. God doesn't function like that. God doesn't shame you to change you. He doesn't shame you to change you. That's not God. God doesn't function like that. Hallelujah. So it has to be edifying. It must exalt and must bring comfort. So the Holy Spirit outside now, showing you things to come and testifying of Jesus, the Holy Spirit also wars with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God as tools of war, tools of warfare. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 to 18. Put it on the screen. Let's read together. At the count of three. 1, 2, 3, let's go.
and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereon through with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always in the Spirit. You see it? Praying always in the Spirit. What do you take? You take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you use it to pray always in the Spirit. Now, how does the Holy Spirit war with the word of God? You take information from scriptures, and then you pray in the Spirit. You take information from scriptures and then you pray in the Spirit. Like you take, like now, the scripture we read earlier on that says, you know, the boundary lines have fallen on me and I have a pleasant inheritance. You take that scripture, you start praying in the Spirit. Likagos kaparande gedoshka le parus ketoshkete le broko vedoshkete. That is how the Holy Spirit uses the word of God to wage war. That is how he uses the word of God to wage war. See, the Bible says you take the sword of the Spirit. Child of God, use your sword. Use your sword. Get into scriptures. Pull out what is written concerning you and pray in tongues with it. Pray in tongues with it. Go into scriptures. Pull out what is written concerning you and pray in tongues with it. Listen, open the scriptures. That is why when I lead prayers, I give you so many scriptures. When I teach, I give you so many scriptures so that you can take them and pray in tongues with it. You don't have to pray in with your understanding. Just take that scripture and begin to blast in tongues. Malako tabalish kote li prodozi kedoshke melush kapatose. That is how you war, the Holy Spirit wars with the word of God in your life. So, as we return back to our text, and I park the bus somewhere here, we see in that text, in the text that we have read, we see the first test of Solomon's wisdom. We see the first test of Solomon's wisdom. That is, two women had children. The Bible said they were harlots. One slept on her child at night and killed her child. The other one slept and they took her child. Both of them were sleeping. One slept on her child, killed her child. The other one was sleeping. They came and took her child. I pray for you. May you not sleep in the days of battle in the name of Jesus. I declare, may you not sleep in the days when you're supposed to be awake in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. Wake up in the name of Jesus. I say, wake up in the name of Jesus. Whatever makes you sleep when you ought to be awake in spiritual matters, I pray for you today. Wake up in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, why men slept, his enemies came and sought her. I declare, whatever has made you slumber, ekoto perose, that have given the adversary access to destroy, I declare right now, wake up. Let the mercy of God remedy the destruction in the name of Jesus. I say, wake up in the name of Jesus. So one slept and slept on a child and killed the child. The other one slept and they took a child. But the two common denominator there, the common denominator there is sleep. They were both sleeping. How many have slept on their destiny and killed their destiny? How many have slept on their destiny and destroyed their destiny? How many have slept on the gift of God on their life and destroyed it? How many have slept and watched the adversary destroy their children? How many have slept and watched the adversary destroy their business? How many have slept and the enemy comes and steal what God has given to them? How many have slept? They sleep on what was given to them, or they slept, the enemy came and took what was given to them. Hear me, friends. This was the test of Solomon's wisdom. Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is not the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is a person. And you and I have that person. His name is Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Now, wisdom is a person. And Jesus is that wisdom. He became to us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So, as we continue with our text, they brought the two women, as they were both arguing whose child is the living child, because Jesus is the wisdom of God. Solomon said to his servants, bring me my sword. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And the Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the
word of God, Solomon said, bring me my sword. As he pulled the sword, he identified the real murderer. As he pulled the sword, as soon as the sword was drawn from the sheath, he identified the real mother of the child. Child of God, every time there is contention over what God has given you, every time there is satanic contention over what God has given you, every time there is argument over what God has given you, every time there is battle, every time there is satanic harassment, listen, friends, what you have to do is to pull out your sword. When you pull out your sword, the controversy will be settled. When you pull out your sword, the argument will cease. When you pull out your sword, the contention will cease. Why? Because the sword of the Spirit has been given to us for victory. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. That is, every time you look at your children and you see they are not looking like what God gave you, my friend, pull out your sword. The Bible said that the woman woke up and said, this dead baby doesn't look like what God has given me. And Solomon pulled a sword, and what God gave her returned back to her. As you pull your sword, I declare, everything that God has given you that the enemy tampered with, it is restored in the name of Jesus. It returns back to you in the name of Jesus. It returns back to you in the name of Jesus. Every time you look at what has been given to you and it doesn't look like what you receive, what do you do? Pull your sword. Pull your sword. You look at that business and you see that this business doesn't look like my business. This doesn't look like my career. This doesn't look like my health. It is time for you to pull your sword. It is not time to murmur. It is not time to complain. It is not time to fear. It is not time to speak negatively. It is time to do what? Pull your sword. When you pull the sword, the matter was settled. When he pulled the sword, the issue was settled. As you pull your sword, I declare, every controversy around you be settled in the name of Jesus. I say, be settled in the name of Jesus. Child of God, stop putting your sword away. Pull out your sword and declare, thus saith the Lord to that issue. Declare, thus saith the Lord to that business. Declare, it is written to that marriage. Declare, it is written to your children's life. Declare, it is written to your health. Pull your sword and declare, thus saith the Lord. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Pull your sword. Pull your sword. It is written that nothing good will die in your hands because you are alive. You don't just have life. You are alive. It is written you are the head and not the tail. It is written the boundary lines have fallen on you. Pull your sword. Pull your sword. It is written sales cannot drop in your hands. Why? Because you have the multiplier's anointing. You have the multiplier's anointing. Pull your sword. Pull your. Did he not say, whatsoever you lay your hands to do, he shall prosper? That is the multiplier's anointing. Pull your sword. Not your neighbor. Tell them, pull your sword. Tell them, pull your sword. Tell them, bring out your sword. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Pull your sword. It is written, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Pull your sword. A righteous man shall fall 7 times, but he will bounce back up again. That is, the harder you fall, the higher you bounce back up. I don't know how hard you are falling. I came to declare, you are bouncing back up in the name of Jesus. Bounce back up higher in the name of Jesus. Your business higher in the name of Jesus. Your health higher in the name of Jesus. Your marriage higher in the name of Jesus. Career higher in the name of Jesus. Thunder, I pull out my sword. It is written, oil on your head, increase in my hands, speed to my feet. Pull your sword. Pull your sword. It is written, they shall surely gather against me, but not for my sake. Anyone who gathers against you shall scatter for your sake. Pull your sword. Pull your sword. It is written, you will overtake. You will pursue, you will overtake. And without fail, do what? Recover all. Pull your sword. It is written, you are fruitful, you flourish, you excel, you prosper in all that you do. Pull your sword. Hey, yeah. Pull your sword, child of God. Don't keep that sword in the sheath. Pull it out. It is written, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All your sins are forgiven. Pull your sword. Even if you don't know what to say, declare the confession over your life. Declare, put that confession for me. Declare that my confession over your life every day. Declare, all my sins are forgiven. That is you pulling your sword. I am passionately loved by God. That is you pulling your sword. I am powerfully helped by God. I am the beloved son of God. I am Abba's favorite. That is you pulling your sword. I am kept and protected by the Almighty God. I enjoy angelic assistance. I am irrevocably blessed. I am eternally forgiven. As Christ is revealed, I am unveiled. Nothing is against me. All things, including the good, the bad, and the ugly. All things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. All things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. All things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. All things, the attack, the manipulation. All things, the battles. All things, the lies. All things, the gossip. All things, the backbiting. All things work together for my good. Give the Lord your praise. Hey, pull your sword. God loves me more than the devil hates me. Hey, God loves me more than the devil hates me. Grace is at work in my life. I am the product of the mercy of God. When judgment comes, mercy says no. Pull your sword. Pull your sword. Walk up to 5 people on my behalf. Give them a high five and say to them, pull your sword. Pull your sword. Give them a high five. You that is online, put it on the live chat. Pull your sword. Child of God, bring out that sword. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Jike pokotompa. Liperusete. And I stand here. I declare to anyone under the sound of my voice, every accusation, every slander against you, I pull the sword of the Spirit and I reverse it by fire in the name of Jesus. I overturn it 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 in the name of Jesus. Any tongue lifted against you, I command them be condemned in the name of Jesus. I declare favor on your head in the name of Jesus. Increase in your hands in the name of Jesus. Speed to your feet in the name of Jesus. Your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. Your days of favor are here in the name of Jesus. Your going out is blessed in the name of Jesus. Your coming in is blessed. Your tomorrow is better than your today. Your yesterday will never be better than your tomorrow. I declare the God who lives in heaven, he has fought your battle. You are a victor. You are irrevocably blessed. You are the first, not the last. They may come in one way, they scatter in several ways, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? When God is on our side, favor is on your side. When God is on your side, increase is on your side. When God is on your side, victory is on your side. When God is on your side, testimony is on your side. Give the Lord your praise. Give the Lord your praise. Thunder, I pull my sword. Hey! Listen to this. I sent this to my wife this afternoon. Romans 8, 33 to 34. TPT translation. He said, who then would dare to accuse those who God has chosen in law to be his God, to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them. What is the final verdict? Not guilty. What is the final verdict? What is the final verdict? What is the final verdict? Give someone a high five and tell them, not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty. That is to say, the case is not open for review. We are not reviewing it. The final verdict, the appeal court, Supreme Court, Constitution Court, Spiritual Court, they've all come together and declare the final verdict, not guilty. Give the Lord your praise tonight. That's not even where I'm going. Follow. Who then is left to condemn us? Who then? We are still looking for the who. We have gone to hell. We can't find the who. In heaven, we can't find the who. He said, who there is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one. For he gave his life for us. Even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for your triumph? So you see why God cannot condemn you? The reason why God cannot condemn is because Jesus is continually praying for your triumph. I prophesy over you, as your amen will thunder, your triumphant days are here in the name of Jesus. Your triumphant days are here in the name of Jesus. Triumph in your office in the name of Jesus. Triumph in your career in the name of Jesus. Triumph in business in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout with the voice of triumph. Shout with the voice of triumph. Shout with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Jesus is continually praying for your triumph. So no matter who gangs up to bring you down, they can't succeed, because Jesus is praying for your triumph. Not the intercessors of our life church, not Pastor Joseph, not Pastor Cordelia. The one who is greater than them is always, always and always praying for your triumph. How dare you tell me that you cannot succeed? How dare you tell me that the witches are stronger? How dare you tell me that your father's house is stronger? How dare you tell me? How dare you tell me? I declare triumph in the name of Jesus. Triumph in the name of Jesus. Triumph in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hey, hey. He is continually praying for your triumph. Always praying for your triumph. Even when you're not praying for yourself, he's praying for your triumph. No man's words is greater than that of Jesus. Lift your voice. Now that you know he's praying for your triumph, lift your voice. Begin to prophesy. Now take the sword of the Spirit. I'm giving you one now. Pray in tongues. Blast in tongues. Blast in tongues.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.